extremely ill. We found people who were strong physically, people who were strong morally, but the world as a whole was a weak world. Is that right? And the women, they have a strong physically, one strong morally. But just as a whole, we were a pitiful, a wicked people. I'm telling you. Hateful. Guilty. Only see some of this here. I'm not lying, brothers and sisters. Telling you the truth. Brothers and sisters, envying each other. Hating each other. Want to see some bad off of each other. Now let me tell you, you ain't gonna be around here. When the space jumping to mother ship off. When the mother plane comes ship off, you ain't gonna be here. If you're here, you won't last long. All people like you gonna be killed. Go out there and work on the job with some companions. And don't give them a pound of trouble. Push those little heavy cops around. Shovel to whatever he got to shovel. Hammer whatever he got to hammer. Carry a can on his back. Just think of the Caucasian. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything's all right. Yes, sir. If you finish the day, everything is good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything's all right. I'm talking about so-called black Muslims. Now, don't tell me. I know you. I grew up with you, brother. I've seen you how you respect Caucasian. How you bow your head to them. How you speak to them with so much mannerism. How you handle them with so much courtesy. And come here in the temple and look like you want to kill all of them. That's awesome. Walking in the temple. Let us just say a little something that you don't understand. Brother, you see this wrong. This world is going to be destroyed by physical fire. Every white man is the devil. The thing is a devil. Those that not born a devil. If you follow that fool out of the temple, then he treats them better than he does. I sat down to the table, the dining table, of Arnold Afterdyne's mama, in his presence. And I heard his followers make his own presence and his own body. Well, dear Holy Apostle, is it true that the ones who got a lot of Caucasian blood in them, light ones, they ain't gonna live around but that long after the devil is destroyed? Are they, dear Holy Apostle? Old man doing his thing in the dark, can't turn the light on. Don't know how in the heck to answer this person. Drop his head in his vanity. No. And a lot of them will. But in time, the old earth will. You say in time there's nothing on the earth but like you. In time the whole earth will be flat. And that's right. In time the whole earth will be flat. Because the light's gonna go out on everything in time. So the bad could come out there the truth, you know. He put him on the spot. So he'd go away those that were a little bit. All black citizens and the rest of them, they get up and take with their chest up out of the walk away and say, this is it. I'm serious. Get serious from your own people's mouth. So this color thing, this black thing, because was destroying us. It was hurting the Caucasian, but at the same time, it was destroying us. Now, after he had done his job of turning the Caucasian and making the Caucasian see this, the depth of his own sin, if we accepted in the process, He's written it when it destroyed us. It divides us because you won't even go to Nigeria and find all Nigerians the same book. Some are a little bit more sensitive black than others. Yeah, now, wherever you go, you find people a little bit more sensitive black than others. So if you're going to say the measure of righteousness, of purity, of divinity, is the measure of physical blackness, you're going to end up on this world either alone by yourself or people going to see. But there's only just a few people who are black to the extreme where we can't measure the shades of their blackness. So eventually it will be those who would say that we are the purest, just like the Caucasians did. Hitler came up with the idea that the purest race, the superior race, was his people because they were whiter than other white people. They were blonder, they had more blonde hair, their eyes, they had more blue eyes. So he thought that since his race was more Caucasian in identity, it gave him the right to go and subjugate and conquer other white people and put them under their heel. And his superior heart, is that right? Now tell me, wasn't that the same philosophy that was put in the birth order? Or had already got the birth order? And since it already happened once in history, isn't that reason to believe that if we had that one there over us, that if looking at that would have been a fruit Hitler, advocating blackness in its pure sense, and the destruction of all the rest of us? And he would have failed just like that. But look how long the world is society, and even many of us over here had to suffer before this man was defeated. He terrorized the world and killed many innocent people before he was defeated. And we had to let them all to grow in that mind that we had been grafted into. And I said, grab him because he was grafted. And along the lines of my hunger, he didn't leave that lesson here. And then some of them that lesson stands there, therefore, to let us know what had happened to us, or what we were doing here in America, if it didn't have real meaning. It meant that just as that man grafted something out of the original, we had been grafted out of the original. So originally, though we were grafted in the white man's world, to be true, some empty vessels, some empty structure, accepting everything that he said he did. But still there was a lot of spirit, a lot of humanity, there was a lot of love in us. Is that right? We didn't have any sense, but there was a lot of love in our community. Black people, you know, before they come up here in the north and go crazy, the old racetrack and all that food. Why when they're down south? You can go from one house to another and never saw you before. Open the door, let you come in, sit down to the table, eat just any, drink their food. Sit down and eat dinner with them, give you the greetings, you go out by your bed. But say, look, where are you going, man? Are you going far? You better take some of this with you. Is that right? All right, look how beautiful we were, even though our minds have been emptied of the real mentality that Almighty God intended for us, the mentality that has been grafted and put into our minds by this Caucasian who is the famous world, has not been strong enough to feel the sentiments of the heart. You see? The head was cool and round and dead. Empty, that is. Just a tool for the other man. But the heart was still strong enough to pump love. The sentiment. Is that right? And we survived around here, brothers and sisters. But look what happened when we fought the philosophy of the devil. I know you don't like me talking this way. I'm not saying that this shouldn't have happened. It was good that it happened. It happened as a curse upon the devil. God never come out in his holiness and whip sinners. God whips me and whips me. Right now, if you make up your mind to become a terrible sinner, don't think that no righteous Any image is going to come and beat you out of your sin. Your sins are going to beat you out of your sin. If you ever beat out of your sin, it's your sins that will whip you out of your sin. Alright, so it took a devil to whip a devil into consciousness again. I'm not saying that it shouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have never made it happen. I want you to know that. I would have done it a different way. Believe me, I think I could have done it. But I'm not of that past time. I'm of this time. You see? So there was no means I'd get it back this way. So what can we say about the past? We just have to accept the past and do something about the present and the future. Is that right? All right. That goodness that we had in our heart, this old slick life up here in the north, began to eat it away. The Nation of Islam came along and killed every bit of it. I know some of your sisters, you still have your love, I know that. But you are lonely, and you were lonely, maybe you're not as lonely now as you were. But you admit the truth, you were lonely in the Nation of Islam. You be trying to show your love and people be treating you like you were doing something wrong. Mama, no! But I'm afraid to do it no long. Master Farah did his job of stopping us. Forcing us out of the mental death that we were in. And at the same time, showing us that you don't have to take the ugly road. Here's the beautiful side of Islam. He gave us the hardness, the cruelty, and the law, the treatment, and the force, pressure that was put on us. That was the hardness of Islam. But he also gave us the song, the goodness, the love, the purity, the righteousness. The mission, the work, wasn't to bring that in existence. If you wanted that, you had to get it on your own. The work was to bring this nation to more and more material progress. And to bring more and more people into this mind. Is that right? Wasn't concerned about you not being able to stand up under, drifting back out in society, in the world, because you just couldn't hold up. Whether you know it or not, came from the mouth of Elijah Muhammad. Said, don't worry about those that can't stand up under. Just keep the pressure on. Get the money. Now, I know this sounds hard to some of you, but I want you to know the reality so you can see what the place of the new. See, if you don't see the real, the fullness of the reality of the past, you can't fully appreciate the present. It was a hard time and hard shift. He had to obey the rule that was given to him for the grasping of this new world. Couldn't just obey the rule. If he just obeyed the rules, he might as well throw away the whole thing. Because everything depended on each and every part of it being used. If he had sacrificed any part of it, it would have lost its effect. So he refused to sacrifice any part of it. Remember that it was an only desire to get us together and to put us over. It was designed to bring the Caucasian man down. Do you understand? So you may take the idea, the thought, that your faith took you and balled you up or hammered you together into a weapon to use to knock somebody else's brains out. But look, the conditions that we were living under and the evils of that world that was in it, that was out, it was around here to stay, brother. All these political movements wouldn't have destroyed that mentality. White supremacy, that Caucasian mind, it wouldn't have been destroyed by all these political movements. Don't think Africa stood up destroyed. If you think if Africa stood up destroyed, go to Africa right next today, and you'll find in Africa they still have the problem there. Caucasians with that mentality and black people not knowing how to deal with it. Nobody could have destroyed it but divine. It took God to destroy it. And God didn't destroy it with his own hand. He allowed somebody with a mind just like the one that has brought the trouble about to produce his thing, and then one, the two come together and, what you call it, annihilate each other. They come together and they annihilate each other. We don't expect to see the world of Al-Bilal, Master Farad, and Al-Bilal, Muhammad existing today. Their world was necessary to clash with the world of Caucasian mentality, to break it, to destroy it. Now the two should die together. They shouldn't, one shouldn't keep going. Today a new mind has come into birth for a new world, brother and sister. Do you understand? All right. So let me go now in a little while. Ain't gonna be too much longer. Remember, I'm sitting down too. And this seat I got is hard as yours, I think. Oh, I've got ears, it's only just cutting into my bones. But mind is stronger than matter. If we keep our mind on this work, we won't be aware of the heart that's of the seat. All right now. Now that we have seen the world of Jakku and the world of Al-Bilal Muhammad as a power attack using the same material, same method, same idea. Don't think that your religious material was Quranic material. It was not. You were taught that God manifests in the flesh. That's not Quran teaching, that's Bible teaching. You were taught that God was a flesh and blood man on earth. Quran never taught that. Not in the Quran. That's the teaching of the Bible. You were taught also that the devil has color and God has color. That's not in the whole Quran, that's in the Bible. If you read the Bible carefully, God or the righteous are given the color of white and purity. And the Christians say, oh, God, white means white snow. Is that right? They identify white with purity and righteousness, with God's image. Is that right? And they call in the Christian theology, not only Christian theology, in other religious theology too, they call the devil black. Now, you know, according to the Bible, the devil began in darkness, and he brought out of darkness, and he becomes light. He becomes a light, is that right? And he rises and rises in brightness and becomes so bright that he's called the star of the morning. Is that right? Lucifer. Lucifer, in a lot of words that we use right now, you see the word brightness or light. When you say, give me some words with the word Lucifer in it, for bright, for light. Lucite, that's a word. No. Lucid. Lucite. Okay, so we have the word. So Lucifer, you see the same word. greatness, really. You see? So it says in the Bible, Lucifer, O Lucifer, the star of the morning, why hast thou fallen? Is that right? So we have in the Bible the devil going from darkness to light, but in darkness he's not devil. In darkness he was just a cherub that God wanted to clean the face, right? And he didn't want the cherub to become devil. He wanted the cherub to become a man, a woman, a righteous person. Is that right? But the cherub didn't come. At first Adam did not become the product that God had in mind, had intended. But it was all in God's plan that the man take the form that he took. He didn't become the man that God wanted, but still God accepted it that was in his plan. He became a hungering man, and a hungering person for knowledge. Now God knows that in time, if he continues that hunger for knowledge, no matter how much you stray from me, if you continue to hold on for knowledge, knowledge is going to eventually open up your eyes. Now, if you never become wise enough to see me, then that knowledge will either destroy you or bring you to me. So God intended that knowledge bring man, or bring society, bring human beings to their fullness. So the book says that God said of one tree in the garden, this is the garden, thou shalt not eat. Now this is all on Yaku. And the Bible named that tree as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Was in the midst of the garden. The woman was tempted, so the book says, to get that knowledge, to eat of that tree. What does the woman stand for here now? The woman stands for, he stands for the individual person. He stands for your flesh maker, your body. Your body is what tempts you to take into your heart and mind things that a God says don't eat. Do you understand? Your flesh. You do it because you say, I stole because I need it. Well, what needs it? Your mind? Your heart? No, it was a material thing. You wanted to defeat your material comfort. Is that right? Okay. So even if you lie, what are you protecting when you lie? You're protecting something that is physical. It has a physical origin and not a spiritual origin. Maybe it takes a long time for some of you all to see all of this, but I'm just going on with it. I can't stand here an hour and try to show you that. Now, the E stands, and for the individual, it stands for his physical body. So flesh is sinful, the book says. Is that right? The flesh is weak, the book says. So in the Genesis, the flesh is called Eve. Now, what does it mean as this Genesis story progresses? So Genesis means a birth and a growth. From one from small beginning or one origin to a high level. There are many Genesis. Everything has a beginning. And they progress on until they reach their fullness. Is that right? All right. So the next Genesis of this particular body, concept that is seen in the physical body, idea, a concept that is seen in the physical body, that is, that there's desire for the physical world because we are in the physical body of the physical world, and we need something of the physical world to maintain or sustain the physical body, right? So the physical world is always pulling on us to satisfy the physical needs. But now, when we come to society and leave the individual, something else becomes easy. Society itself becomes evil. You understand? All right, now I'll explain so you understand without a doubt. When the individual is not tempted by his own flesh, the temptation comes from the society. You may rule your own flesh and deny your own flesh, and in your home, your own flesh might not give you a problem. Is that right? But you step outside of your home, and there is so the society tempting you with all kinds of things. Is that right? Tempting you with lust. tempting you with criminal ideas, tempting you with fear, tempting you with many things. Is that right? So now the greater he is not the individual threat, the power for Eve rolls out of Genesis to the society. Do you understand? All right. So the man who fell victim to the threat, he was the individual. But in that Genesis is reflected also the story of society, or the Genesis of society. It tells us that this, that just like there's a man who can't stand the test of his own physical body, and when he gets hungry, rather than waste the mind, he is not rolling the waste of the kid of beef. He will go out tonight to steal something, steal somebody. Right? Okay. It's just like that thing is just an individual and cause a devil spirit to rise up in the individual to answering the temptations of his flesh, there is in society a mentality that can't stand to do without the thing that it desires and wait till God open the way. It will go out and kill the members of the society to get what it wants. Now, what is that society? I know the world don't like it. It's commercialism. The commercial world, brother, they will kill us individually to get what they want. They don't care if they steal your morality. They don't care if they steal your intelligence. Don't you know they tell us that TV commercials are designed for a 12-year-old mind? They don't care. They know as long as they can get you to buy their product, they stay in existence and grow strong. But look what materialism, look what the beast is doing. Look what the beast is doing to the individuals of the society. This beast now who's in the body of the society, and he is influencing or acting upon the appetite of the men that are really set head to society, the material, the world of society, acting on them, forcing them to tempt you to buy, though it hurts your home life, to buy, though it deprives your children of things that are more important than they need. To buy, though it corrupts your house. Is that right? They don't care what they sell you. They don't care what the damage that those things do in your home. They only want you to pay them, buy, to patronize them. Is that right? Is this man saying that the commercial world is the devil? No. The commercial world is evil. We're going from an individual threat to a society of threat. That acts on the minds of the people to get them to do things against God and destroy the happiness and peace and progress of their society. The devil is not the commercial world, or not the material or the business world. The devil is the mind in that world. Whisper to you. Give it to Adam. It's good for all of us. That's the real thing. You may say, well, who is that? The grafted mentality of this wicked world. Their philosophy, their ideology, even their Christianity is all designed to justify every wicked idea that they come up with and execute on the weak members of the society. I know it sounds hard, but it's true. Christianity can't stand it, must go. The church must go. People can believe in Christ if they want. We won't stop them from doing that. But I have given my life, brother, to stop the preaching.
preaching of the crucifix doctrine, to stop the preaching of that doctrine that says bruise manifest in a Caucasian body, and that blood has to pay a price, had to sacrifice and be whipped and tortured, so that faith could come into society. If I believe that crap, then I will accept all the physical torture that this evil would have put on every people, and say that what the flesh, the body has to be sacrificed, the body has to be crucified, so that faith will come into the heart. Oh, that's a wicked, diabolic concept. The book says that you don't know the depth of faith. Let me tell you, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's true. This world talks about the devil, but you don't know what the devil is. You don't know just how powerful the devil is. You don't know just how deep his wickedness, his tricks are. You don't know the depth of his deceit. We have to tell you. Now you, I don't have the time to talk to you. I'll be talking to you 7 o'clock tomorrow morning if I try to teach you everything pertaining to this subject. But I'm going to hold you for a little longer just to tell you a few more things. Look, when you look in this book, when you look into this book with the light, the searchlight that we give you, you can see that the church is doomed. The Bible that the church is preaching out of preaches against the church. But it's hid, so they can't see it. Why was it hid? Why did they have to hide it? Because the church had said it come into existence before the righteous people could do anything about it. Once they saw what had happened, it was too late. So they said the only thing we can do is work behind cover and aid God's righteousness, the truth, so that when the time comes and the people begin to lose some of the love for this thing, when it lose some of the fascination over them, then their eyes will begin to examine this thing. And when the eyes begin to examine, they'll see the truth, the indicting truth that we have placed into this Bible against the very church that preached this Bible. Believe it or not, let the Pope come here. I go to the Pope. I want to see the truth. Become free in the world. Pope won't come here. I'll go to the Pope. I'll go to any of the great leaders. Not to none of these small ones. It doesn't justify me going to them. But those big ones, I'll go to any of them. And let them give me equal time before the world to show them the truth. And I want them to respond. I guarantee you the Pope can't reply to me. There's no man, let me tell you this, brother. There's no man on the face of the earth that can reply to me without admitting that I'm right. One in this world.
Let's go and see something in this Bible. In Genesis, the Bible starts talking about the wickedness of the world that was coming into being. Yahoo's world. It starts off with the individual committing sin. Adam, tempted by the flesh. What tempts him? The serpent. What is the serpent? Intelligence. The hunger, the appetite for knowledge. Human beings are all born with intelligence. And in that intelligence is a thirst, a desire for knowledge. God intended that we have that in our nature. It's necessary to grow up from babies to adults. But the first generation, as this Bible gives us, didn't stand the test. Doesn't mean that there was a particular generation. It means that for human beings, period, wherever human beings start up or start growing as society or civilization, in their early life, when they are ignorant and weak in knowledge, they can't stand the simple test of the flesh. And that first Adam falls victim to the flesh. Do you understand? But as man grows, then God let him fall victim to the flesh, but God began to make him thirst more for knowledge. As his knowledge grew, he began to see the pettiness of his yesterday's sin. And if he's worthy, he's born. Is that right? But if he's just bent upon being a wicked old troublemaker, he doesn't reform. He takes the knowledge that he gets and uses it to further his wicked plan. Is that right? To make more evil in the world. Okay, so this is what the Bible is telling us. It starts with the individual, brings our minds to see the society that society comes under the same influences and becomes a bigger Adam, a bigger serpent, and a bigger Eve, a bigger devil. Is that right? And it keeps growing and keeps growing. God says every time he completed something, he said, and it is good. So it looks bad to us and our limited knowledge. God didn't say it was bad, he said it's good. It's good because it's moving on to manifest my great plan. It's good because it's moving on to manifest my superior power and knowledge over all things. Okay, let's go now. But the freedom of the individual, remember, was just given to us from the start. So we can't directly blame God, because the conscience warned all of us not to do these things. Even the ignorant are warned by their conscience not to do wickedness. Is that right? But the temptations are too great for the wicked, for the ignorant, or for the baby mind. So eventually the temptations overcome the baby. And the baby starts sinning. Is that right? All right. Let's go on now. So we see the birth of the devil here. First, the man, human beings are made, and they become knowledgeable, and there is a temptation in the flesh that makes the knowledge want to satisfy the urges of the flesh and not satisfy righteousness. See, all these things, is that right? And this grows and grows until finally the little baby devil becomes really an adult, full-grown devil. Now, how does this happen? And who brings this about? It's the most wicked that brings this about. Those that get knowledge can see the knowledge. See that God is God. See that just the truth prevails. Know that in time they're going to be found out and destroyed. But still insist in their wicked way. This is the devil. This is the real devil. This type of wicked person, he will twist truth to justify every evil thing that he has to do. This is the real devil. Now, in the Bible, in the Genesis, who is this real devil now that the Bible identifies? If you go and read the Chinese Bible, Buddhist Bible, they got a devil in their Bible too. And when they tell you who the devil is, they identify somebody too. You go to other people that believe in a spiritual religion, or in a power, you'll find that they believe also that there's an evil spirit, an enemy spirit. And that spirit, they identify it in somebody, in some people. But let's see where
talking about beating the devil. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to give it to you. Okay, let's go now. Here it says, chapter 4 of Genesis, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now here's the clue. You read this and you never get to understand. I'm talking to preachers. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And the preachers think that they mean from Adam. The book doesn't mean from Adam. The book means that this Cain is not even called Adam's son. Cain is called Eve's son. Is that right? He's not Adam's son. Adam can't have flesh sons. And certainly not devil. Though he's baby, he still can't be a devil. He dies. He dies and have to wait until his Adam, his form is awakened again. To take on growth. He just can't become a devil. But Eve can become a devil. I can give birth to devil body. So, and she bare a son and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Meaning that I have gotten a man from the Creator, from Almighty God. God wants his seed. Metaphorically speaking or symbolically speaking, God wants all of us to be his sons and daughters. Meaning, following him, loving him, looking to him for guidance and protection. Do you understand? For shelter and everything. For home. Okay. But there are some wicked forces in the world that don't want the people to belong to God. They want the people to belong to them. So Eve, the tempter who uses flesh to tempt the people, is here given as tempting people to come to her. Means come to the love of the flesh. You understand? Okay, that's the beginning of this. So Cain is the beginning of the devil. He's not the devil popular. He's a baby devil. But Cain grows and grows and grows. His baby generation dies before the flood, or in the with by the flood, limit. Then after the flood, a new devil, that same old power, or same old germ, begins to grow again. But now it has the benefit of knowledge that has accumulated over many generations. It's wiser now. Not the same little old baby stupid cave. The same wicked power in the society is a grown-up wise devil now. And he's going to start his plan. And who is this? Yaakov. Yaakov becomes the chief thief. In the Bible, he's called Jacob. Now it says here, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, listen to this. Who is Isaac? Isaac is the father of Jacob. But Isaac is old. What is the book trying to tell us here? That Isaac is not strong anymore. Now, what does Isaac stand for here, other than just a prophet's name? The real message is not that this is a prophet, that this is that the prophet embodies the message. It's a message more than a prophet. So, Isaac grows old now. And he desired a wife. I mean, he desired that he have a child. His wife was barren. He hadn't given birth. He was old too. So he wanted a child from his wife. Isaac here stands for the godly person. The godly force in the society. The godly force in the society desires a community of righteous people. Every godly person that is moved by God, what they long for is a congregation of the righteous. Is that right? The congregation is called the wife. That power in us is called the man. That's Adam. That's the Adam force in us. Okay. So he desired a wife, but he had been desiring a long time and just couldn't have no child. So he prayed to God for a child. And God blessed his wife to have a child. Meaning that he blessed the society to give birth to someone who would start a religious order to bring about a religious society. Do you understand? Okay, let's keep reading now. Talking about Yahshua still. Don't think I'm off the subject. So Isaac got a child. And, by Rebecca, right? But he didn't get just one child. He got two. The book says that there were two nations. Now, look, read this now. Two, it didn't say two babies. Two nations in this woman. All right? So Jacob then is not a baby. He's not an individual. Jacob is a nation. So if Jacob was born, he was one of the twins in this woman. So if Jacob was born out of this woman, then let's go back to the book. It says two nations was in this woman. So then Jacob means more than individual. It also means a nation. Is that right? And Esau means more than the individual. Esau means a nation. Jacob and Esau. Says Jacob was smooth. He didn't have hair on his body. But his brother Esau was a hairy man. Now let's think about this. Esau was a hairy man. You see how this was going on? We think here that Esau was a savage, a wild man. And Jacob was a nice, clean, civilized man. It's designed like this to throw you off, brothers and sisters. Hair on the body, in the scriptural sense, means more than just physical hair. It means wisdom. Wisdom. If you remember, we talked here a few months ago, and we talked on hair as a symbol for wisdom. Is that right? The seven locks of Samson's head, and I even went to tell you how the people came about this idea, terminology, by looking at hair, how it is located in the body. There's hair on the arm. And the arms are soft. Is that right? There's hair on the head. And the head is powerful because it directs the whole body. There's hair also on the legs. The legs are strong. They support the body. There's hair around the sex organ because there's power there for generations. For the generation of new life. Is that right? So we see that hair is around the regions of power in the man. There's hair over the lips. The mouth has the power of speech. Is that right? So a lot of hair grows around the face of the man. Is that right? All right. Hold on. I know you're tired and you want to go, so save your clap and let's go. There's hair over the eyes. Why? Because the eyes have the power of vision. There's hair in the ears. Because the ears have the power of sight. The power of hearing, pardon me. And there's hair in the nose. Because the nose has the power of smell. Do you understand? So the wives of ancient days, they used the hair as a symbol of the man's strength. All right, now let me get going with this subject here. Good God Almighty, I want to shout. See, when you're a little baby in the house with your mother, your parents discipline you, don't they? They don't let you get loose, do they? You get loose, tear up that door, stop that plan. Is that right? But after you get big, you can get outside and get loose, right? Okay, well, we've been brought from that first womb of the mother now. Now we're in the second one. We're teenagers outside in the society. We're going to get loose. Remember, we have to be adults one day, so let's not destroy ourselves with our plate. Okay, let's go on now with this story. So there are two nations. You who have to leave, I understand you have to leave. Thank you for your patience to sit this long. We know you've been helped. Come back again. So every time you come here, we got water. The well never runs dry. Nations in the womb. Twins. One of these twins, twins mean they were born at the same time. Why do they give us this idea of twins? Because they don't want us to think that here is something that's older than the other, in physical age or anything. It's something that can come to birth at the same time the other comes to birth. Now, there are two something in us that can come to birth at the same time. One may come to birth without the other, or they may come to birth together. If they come to birth together, they will have to contend with each other for rule in our life. Is that right? Now, Master Farrar, he termed these two things as two germs in the original man. He didn't say two nations. He said that Yaakov discovered that there were two germs in the original man. Is that right? All right, let's keep going. I can't tell you all today, but just keep coming back. We're going to tell you quite a bit today. Now let's go here. It says, Jacob. Said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man, being hairy. I don't have that divine knowledge. Now, how am I going to be able to convince the godly spirit, the godly power in the society? How am I going to be able to convince the godly power in the people that I am the rightful leader, the rightful heir, the rightful leader, without the wisdom of Abraham and Isaac, my father? You see? Isaac had grown old, he was senile. It means that the religious order that had been established to guide the world had become old and had lost their knowledge, had lost the memory of their knowledge. Just like an individual becomes senile and can't recall what God said. A religious society that knew what God said yesterday, today it grows old and forgets, and can only recall some of the things. They get senile and they can't recall all the laws. They can't respond readily to questions. They can't deal with sin with strength of youth. Is that right? So this is described as an old man, Isaac. So Isaac, the dying religious society, old dying religious society, can't really contend with the new forces of evil, of the devil in its midst. So the devil sees that the religious society is in its senile state. And now he says, I can come to the godly body, and I can deceive them. But to do it, I need some of the wisdom of the righteous. Some of the wisdom of Adam, Noah, Abraham, and Isaac, my father. You understand? Okay. So he tells his mother, and remember, his mother is the one that turned him on. So this tells us something else. That first, the society is influenced. The little devil gets his start because the society pushes him on. Is that right? If the society is strong for God's sake, then that devil won't get his start. But since the society was weak, Rebekah, meaning the society, the wife of the society, was weak. Now in the Bible, we think of Rebekah, the church. If they heard me talking about Rebekah like this, it's God. Because Rebekah is supposed to be a beautiful, righteous, oh, she's such a shining star in the Bible, is that right? But in reality, this Rebekah is not the Rebekah, the shining star. This is no bigger than baby girl stuff. He once was right, but he grew old. You understand? So the godly spirit has grown old, and the society, that religious society, has grown old. So the religious society wants to get control. Now you find churches just like this right now that rather than do what God says, they will answer expedience and do what is necessary to keep them materially strong in the society. Is that right? Right. They will sell the religious community down the drain, brother, to do what is necessary to keep them strong in the society. They will lie to the community. They will lie to the congregation. Because they want to stay powerful as a material force or as a political force in the society. Is that right? So we have here in Rebecca that type of society. This type of religious society that had grown old. And too weak to deal with strength and righteousness. Now he wants to bring in wickedness. And give wickedness power. Take it from the throne. Don't want Esau to rule. Esau got the wisdom of God. If we let Esau rule, Esau is going to correct me. Esau is going to correct his mother. He's going to correct his society. And don't they call society your mother? Okay, if we let Esau get this inheritance, Esau is going to correct his mother. I want Jacob, his wicked son, to get the power so he can help me. You see? All right, so Jacob is this wicked son, and the religious society that has grown old and wicked, senile and weak in truth and in virtue, now begin to cater, begin to aid wickedness in the society so that wickedness will help keep their wicked society standing. All right. So she said, told him, say, look, fool your father. The old man was growing old, and he was about to pass on his blessing to his son, his rightful son. So Rebecca, that wicked society, that weak society in religious strength, said, look, Jacob, I know you're not the first son. Twins now. You see how this language is? Twins. But Jacob is the youngest. Esau is the oldest. Now, if they were twins, that little amount of time wouldn't have made that much difference. The man would have had to decide between who was more capable of doing the job. He would have had to disregard age as a factor altogether. Is that right? But it tells us these things to open our eyes and feel wise and inspired by God. Okay. Twins, but now it's not twins like you think, man. These are people that might be much older in physical age than one another. But the power for their creation exists at the same time in the human makeup. Do you understand? Okay, let's keep going. So she said, go out and trick your father. Now read this story sometime in more detail sometime. You will see that Isaac, he liked his son Esau. Now if Isaac was a righteous man, and that's what they believe, why would he like Esau and not like Jacob if Jacob was the righteous son? You see? He didn't like Jacob. He liked Esau. And he socialized. And he dined. Not with Jacob, but with Esau. He wanted Esau to go out and get some of that fine, succulent meat that we both eat and enjoy. Is that right? You can read it for yourself. It's right here. The story is here. It's a beautiful story, especially if you have understanding of interpretation. So the meat here is, as you read in the book, in the Old Testament, Paul uses the same terminology for wisdom. Paul said that babies have to have milk, and only those who are wise in understanding, the learned, only they can have the meat. Is that right? So what Paul was telling us there is that meat means the wisdom, the higher knowledge in religion. You see? Okay, so the godly honest society. That means the wise and the religious. The godly and wise in the religious society. That's Isaac. He had been sharing his wisdom with others called Esau. You understand? They had been sharing, eating, and enjoying this wisdom together. But the society had planned to take the honor from the true and rightful honor and give it to a false beast, give it to a lying devil. So his mother said, tell you what we'll do. We'll go out and we'll get animals high and make you sleep for your arms and make you a collar for your neck. So that when your father Isaac touches the exposed parts of your body, he'll feel hair and think that it's the hair of Esau. Oh, oh man, I'm telling you. There were preachers, imams, rabbis that would live 40 years and fast 40 years to get what I'm telling you right now. Okay, so what did they do? They went out and got artificial hair. This is the beginning of the devil. Not giving the true knowledge that Almighty God revealed, but going out and getting something that looks very much like it. And fooling the godly people. So they came back, Esau, with this artificial hair on his body, on his arms, exposed part. And when Isaac, the old man, thought it was sick. I mean, he thought, pardon me, it was Jacob that came back with the trick, pardon me, let me get it straight. And when the old man touched the hair of the animal, he thought this was the hair of his son, Jacob. Do you understand? All right now, what kind of hair was it? Animal's hair. Isaac didn't like to wear animal hair. Isaac enjoyed killing animals and cooking their blood, making that flesh fit for his body. Is that right? And he used to do that with his son Esau, who also didn't want to wear animal hair. They wanted to go out and get animals and kill them. Feel the power of the animal blood, the lust that's in us. And then take that body that was once a lustful living animal and transform it into something that satisfies our appetite. Is that right? So we sit with each other after we've been converted to truth, and the same person whose animal nature, whose animal spirit offended us after he's converted to truth, is cooked. It's prepared breath. It's so nice to our taste. So we sit and we dine from each other. Nature, feeling, and sentiment. Is that right? Whereas yesterday, it was raw animal, and we couldn't stand it. Is that right? Okay, so here now, they don't kill the animal as Isaac did. They come in with the hair of the animal. Actually, they have become the animal themselves. Do you understand? And he's wearing the hair of that. His hair, his knowledge is not the knowledge of divine. His knowledge is the knowledge of lust and greed, materialism, murder and lies. Do you understand? That's his knowledge. That's the hair that is on him. But he has so worked with it. He has so grasped it. That it looks exactly as God's knowledge to the senile society of the righteous. Do you understand? All right. So the senile society of the righteous, they look at it, they feel it, they say, yes, this must be Esau. Let us support Esau. Esau is going to be our king. But this is not Esau. This is Jacob. He's grown out and taken the lust of the body. He has taken the greed of his body. He has taken the deception of his physical nature. That is, that deception that has been by the lust and the appetite of his physical nature. He takes that and flips it into a divine wisdom. And then hands it to the gods of people and says, see this divine wisdom? And they touch it and say, yeah, it's the hair of the animal. It's the wisdom of the beast. But they think it's the wisdom of God's man. Is that right? All right now. Esau was the elder brother. What does this tell us? It tells us this, that there was a religious society, a real one. This is not fictitious. And it lost its place in the world because it grew old and senile. Didn't keep useful its knowledge. And a younger people, a younger society, came into it first, and by practice, by deception, supplanted, as the book calls. Say, Jacob was a supplanter. Is that right? Tripped up, knocked the real order out of their rightful place, and got into the place. Okay, now here is the birth itself. The devil comes to birth right here. The society of the religious people falls victim to the temptations of the material world and the flesh and allows help the wicked elements of that society to come into power. You understand? And give them the scheme, the trick, give them the wisdom of how to put it over on the God of the people so that the God of the people will think that they, yes, they are really true, come truly from God. You understand? All right, let's go on. And Rebecca took the godly raiment of her elder son Esau, yes, and put them upon Jacob. The raiment. What is the raiment? The raiment here means the moral teaching, the virtues of the religious. See, in our physical bodies, when people see us, they see physical bodies. But when they see what's in this body, they see our virtues, or they see our vices. Is that right? So the dress in religion means either your virtues or your vices. This is what the world can see. They can't always see your wisdom. Your wisdom is hidden many times. But they can always see your vices and your virtues, because these things express it out. Is that right? So she took this Rebecca, this wicked order, took the raiment of Esau, took the vices and the virtues of the moral virtues of the legitimate, the lawful order, and put them on the false, the imposter. You understand? All right. The book has said it. I'm not making it up. It's here in the book. And I can show you that my interpretation, I'm not giving you an interpretation that I can't prove. I can show you by the Pope's rule of interpretation that I'm right. I can show you by the bishop's rule, by the Baptist minister's rule. I can show you by any learned preacher or any religious leader. I can show you by their own rule that I'm interpreting rightly. Now, if I'm interpreting rightly, then who is this in the book? Who did this? They must exist somewhere. The book say they did it. All right, let's go on. And they didn't teach me how to apply their rules. God revealed their rules to me and gave me a greater knowledge than what they have. Okay, so she took the godly raiment. Raiment means garment, clothing, dress, of her eldest son, Esau, and she put them on the younger son, Jacob. And she put the skin of the kid goat upon his hand and upon the smooth of his neck. So the exposed part, after she put the virtue over the thing she wanted to hide, there still was something exposed, right? See, there's more in religion than moral virtue. There's also wisdom, divine wisdom. Now, what I'm going to put here for the divine wisdom. The wicked society went and interpreted the forces or appetites of the flesh to mean the appetites of the spirit in the moral nature, and put them into a body of knowledge and called it divine or spiritual wisdom. Okay, the book has it here. So this is really a first grasping, right? If you understand what grasping means. Grasping means to bring two things that are not fit by nature to be together and cause them to exist together, to grow, to exist and grow together. So here is a religious order here that took the righteousness and purity of an old and senile order that was losing its youth and strength to hold the strong devil forces in the society. They took that original order and they mixed it in, dressed it up with false knowledge, and caused the false knowledge and the original to grow together and go together as one body. That's grasping. Do you understand? Okay. So here was Jacob under the guise of Esau. Is that right? Okay. Okay, let's move on now. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. This is Isaac. But Isaac saw what had happened. It was too late. He had already been fooled. Right? He had been tricked. The godly, the wise in the society had already been tricked. Too late. When they woke up to what had happened, to what had been fooled over on their eyes, they trembled and feared. They said, good God Almighty, look what we have let happen. We have let a devil take over our order. Do you understand? And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Who is this? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before you came, and have blessed him. He's talking to the rightful heir. He's telling Esau, who is this who sneaked in here? This guy is this you. And got me to eat with them. Like I eat with you. Got me to sit down with him and discuss wisdom with him. And we feed on the meat, the strength of our wisdom. And he's gone out now. And now I learned just by seeing you that it was not you. What does this mean? Mean that one day the rightful heir will make himself known again. And the God, the people will say, good God Almighty, what happened to us? How did we let it happen? Who in the world came in here and messed our church up like this and put the devil's message in here? When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. What did he say? It's too late now, Dad, for you to give me my rightful inheritance. Satan got it. Got the people fooled that have shamed you. You can't come out. And you in old age now, you can't even deal with it. He's eaten with you. He's gotten your knowledge now. Much too strong for you, Dad. In your ways, you can't deal with him. And I can't deal with him now. He got as much as I have. You gave him the same thing you gave me. So, Dad, he's got it. He's gone. Got the people following him. So now that you can't give me my rightful position, you can't give me what I rightfully deserve, and that is leadership, rule in the society. Bless me anyway, Dad. dad say?
Well, I'll give you a blessing, but you won't get it now. Get it later. Is that right?
What was that blessing his father was giving him? A dedication to righteousness, to suffer in the world, to wait until his time comes. The blessings of patience and perseverance, the blessings of endurance. The righteous know that the wicked will not live always, that their day will one day come to an end. Is that right? So that was his blessing. The old man gave his son the blessings of endurance, perseverance.
Oh boy, I wish I could hang around here a little longer, but we got to keep moving on. Okay, now let's go to Jacob. Jacob now, he gets the right to rule. He takes over the religious society. I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters, believe it or not. The synagogues have been under the power of the devil for many thousands of years. The church came to birth, but it came to birth when the devil was even stronger. It came to birth under the power of even a greater devil. The mosque of Prophet Muhammad, established 1400 years ago, was the only movement that came up free of the power of the devil. The Holy Quran existing here right now with us, unchanged, untouched, is the only book that contains the true wisdom of Almighty God. Without the false guide, the false hair, the false wisdom of the animal beast world. The Holy Quran is the only one. That Prophet Muhammad was the only one. But did he destroy Satan? No. His message came in the world to live forever. The Holy Quran will never die. It will guide the world forever. But he did not go destroy the devil. He destroyed him only in that society wherein he himself ruled and preached. But his wisdom also grew old like I. And the Caucasians came into Arabia and tricked the Arabian people, the Muslims, went into Africa, divided and tricked the Muslims of Africa, and brought them to lose their truth and their strength, to get away from the precious knowledge, the feet of their knowledge, caused them to fall down into the old headed show of piety and virtue that we find in the Western world. Isn't this a fact of history? The Muslim world, though their book is pure, though their book is untouched by Jacob, they weren't strong enough. They were a baby people. They weren't strong enough to deal with Satan, brother. Prophet Muhammad survived, and the early companions of Prophet Muhammad, but the society itself proved that it was too weak. Stand up against Satan. I'm not saying you won't find Islam over there today. You'll find Islam. You'll of course find the Holy Quran. But you will find a senile religious society over there that I believe I'm doing justice and accurately describing. Some of you have been over there, right? It's a senile religious society. They can be tricked and they are tricked. But Master Farah said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. Back then they did, but we have come up with the good. Now Jacob had a vision. I'm going to try to hurry up and round this up and let you go, because it's real late on the East Coast today. It's 8:30 instead of 7:30. Jacob had a vision, and in the vision, the book says he saw an angel And the book says he wrestled with the angel all night. Is that right? Until the morning. Until the light appeared. And when the light appeared, he had changed his wicked mind and had decided that he was going to reform from his wicked way, or turn from his wicked way. So he went to Esau to confess his sin. Is that right? The book says he went to Esau and he confessed his evils against Esau. And offered to share some of what he had with Esau. Okay? All right. This is the innocence of Jacob, who saw his wickedness and decided to reform, to change from his wicked ways. Who is this new Jacob now? That old Jacob that went around just boldly robbing, usurping authority, and taking over people's lands and taking over the order of society with craftiness and deceit, and not showing any sign that he was sorry for his sin. Who was that? The Jew. That first Jacob is the Jew. Yaakov, the Jew. Satan himself. Now tell them if they say that I'm teaching that the Jews are devils, you tell them that I say that the wise rabbis teach them that the Jew is the devil. But not all the Jews, the wise Jew who is acting in the role as a Satan. He is the enemy, the adversary. Ask them, they'll tell you that I'm right. They themselves teach that the role of their wise and learned is the role of faith. They are really the faith. And they play that role and they think that they are serving God. They say it's right to do this. We promote God's plan. We are God's promoters. I'm telling you what they teach. And you might not believe it. When you find it to be true, you're going to say, somebody told him that. Nobody told me this but God. Master Barak never told. Master Elijah Muhammad never told. No human being in this society ever told. God revealed it to me, believe it or not. Revealed it to me as more plainly than anybody could have told it to me. And it's a fact. They are the advocates of evil and wickedness. And they think that they serve God by acting in this role. Here is how they justify it. They say, how can the righteousness come out of man if you don't test it? And how can the evil in man be manifest if you don't put pressure on him? So they themselves practice righteousness in their own society. I'm not talking about these dudes that sell whiskey out here. Those are little devils. There are some bigger devils, sir, that planned this thing way, way back. Excuse me. They justify, they say, we live righteous. We are the angels of God. We serve God. We don't try to convert the world to what we believe. The best way to bring God's plan to fullness